Hey, this is actress Carissa Lee Staples, and you're listening to the O Brother Podcast.
Welcome to the O Brother Podcast with hosts Dan and Mike Smith, brothers from the same mother with different opinions on movies, TV, video games, and more, plus celebrity interviews. Get ready, get set, it's time for the O Brother Podcast.
Welcome to the O Brother Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Smith. Alongside me, as always, my brother from the same mother, Mike Smith.
How's it going today, Dan?
It's good. We're all over the place.
Yeah, how's the weather there?
I think we both need a nap.
Yeah, how's the weather?
It's not, it's still warm. I got to be honest.
Still wow.
Warm. Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's starting to really hit the winter skids here
in New England. Yeah. Well, it is, as of this recording, it's November 19th, 2023. And the reason we're recording on this date in particular is because it's got significance to the topic that we're talking about,
right,
which is Ghostbusters Afterlife was released November 19th, 2021. And this is one, you know, again, it came out, couple of years ago, so we're sort of late to this one, and I have just seen it for the first time.
And I've spent the last 2 years trying to get you to watch it, so
yeah,
that's another significant. You
were on a bit of a campaign over the last couple of years.
Yeah,
especially when it first came out, I suppose. But so yeah, that's the real kind of impetus behind this episode. But you know, I want to say at the top here, if you know, I wanted to really show this off and really kind of, you know, bask in the glory of it. But I got something in the mail, this new O Brother mug that, look at this.
You can tell who pays for the mugs based on this photo, right?
Yeah, so I was very excited. As soon as I grabbed the packaging, so I'm holding up what was supposed to be my brand new old brother mug.
Yeah.
And in what I grabbed the package, immediately I'm hearing jingle jangle all the way home. So I knew, I text you, I said, I think the mug is broken.
Yeah, and then you filmed yourself opening the package.
I did.
Sent it to me as a text.
It was a bummer because it was such a tease to see, you know, the logo and everything. And this is the beauty of this, as you always like to point out, this is a nice 15-ounce mug.
Right.
It's right. You can get plenty of cocoa in here.
And whatever I put in there.
And I like how you're showboating it.
I have the secret sauce.
We all know it's Gatorade. Let's relax. Give us the setup here for Ghostbusters Afterlife, which... it completely ignores the 2016 reboot.
Which it should. You know,
there are people out there that like that film. Now, I can't comment on the 2016 reboot because I didn't see it yet. And it's in my collection, so there's another one. But
And we recently did a convention, and we had people spin this wheel. It was like the Wheel of Fortune that you had. And if they hit a certain color or whatever, they would win a movie. And I made sure to give that Ghostbusters
that one away
up front. You know, it was like, you didn't win. Well, you know, here's a consolation movie.
One man's trash, another man's treasure.
Yeah.
So this one picks up, you know, this is really kind of the third installment, according to the Reitmans, right?
Right. Well,
and it's set 32 years after Ghostbusters 2.
Right, and all the characters were in the last one, but they were playing somebody different. It just wasn't good.
So what's the synopsis of Afterlife? Give us
that. So basically, obviously, Harold Ramis is not with us anymore.
Hey, by the way, I just went to grab some water, and I grabbed a broken mug. Got to set that a little further to the side.
And so anyway, this... as told by the Reitmans, and it's directed by Jason Reitman. Ivan Reitman was on the set, sitting next to him, basically guiding him every step of the way.
Yeah.
But it's basically picks up, it's years later, 10, 20 years
32.
Later. Is it 32?
32 wow. After.
Anyways, this one picks up and we see this guy driving who we think is Egon Spengler, which is played by Harold Ramis. Of course, he's not with us, so we can't be certain, right? I was not certain until later on in the movie. But basically, he's got a place out in Oklahoma where he has set up all these traps, and he's trying to lure all of the ghosts to this farm and capture them all in one big shot. And he has the place set up so it can hold them, et cetera. So that's basically the story, the setup.
That's the setup. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go down some of the details here. We said released November 19, 2021, as you pointed out, directed by Jason Reitman, written by Gil Keenan. And then your main cast is Carrie Coon, who plays Callie Spangler.
People might know from Fargo or other things. She's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Paul Rudd, of course, plays Gruberson. I love the name. Kind of in the Rick Moranis role in this one, to it,
especially
to an extent,
you know, especially
in the latter part of the film.
Correct.
Finn Wolfhard plays Trevor. McKenna Grace as Phoebe. Logan Kim as Podcast. Celeste O'Connor plays Lucky, who Trevor kind of has a thing for, right? You know,
yes,
Finn's character,
and he's from, people will know him from Stranger Things.
Finn Wolfhard, yeah.
Yes.
And then there's a cameo in it by J.K. Simmons. He's in like every film. He's like the Michael Caine of our generation now.
And he also sells insurance on the side.
That's true. He does, yeah. But he plays the kind of a central character that's threaded throughout this, like, what is it, Evo Shandor.
Right.
Right?
It's like an evil god of some sort.
Or the leader of a cult that worships Gozer.
Right. Gozer is the main evil villain, I guess you would call it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now you didn't get the extras. So
on Afterlife, some things, right?
Yeah, it's not on the digital, unfortunately, because there's so many. But you went back and watched the original, you told me, last night or the night before.
Yeah, I watched it a couple nights ago because I hadn't seen that in a long, long time. So just, I'm glad I did, because there's so many callbacks and references to, you know, especially like the post-credit scene in Afterlife.
Right.
There's a callback to like basically the very opening of the original Ghostbusters with the card trick that Murray is playing with that and college student.
What I didn't pick up is Bill Murray is married to Sigourney Weaver. Mm-hmm. They've been married for 30 years.
Yeah, Dana.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. And she had a kid. Was it their kid in the sequel?
Oscar was the kid in two. Oscar didn't get any love in Ghostbusters, in this one, Afterlife.
In Afterlife, right. Yeah. Now, you mentioned Ramis died in 2014. It's kind of weird. He died February, as did Ivan Reitman died in 2022, like just after
they made
the film
this
came out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of weird. You know, it's sort of, you think about this kind of handing down from Ivan to Jason, and that's kind of what's going on in the plot of the film, this sort of handing down, you know, of this younger generation.
Jason co-wrote this as well. Mm-hmm. He's as talented as his dad. He's a really good director. If you haven't seen Up in the Air, that's a great film of his.
With Clooney
and Vera Farmiga.
It's good enough, folks.
You were just goading me into
I did.
That
this
name.
Was all just to get to that, exactly. This whole episode. But, you know, one of the things to talk about with this, of course, is this film in some iteration probably would have been done 32 years ago.
Right.
If it weren't for one individual's refusal to sign on many, many times, right? Bill Murray.
Yeah. And now he's signed on for the next one. There's another one. That's why, that's another reason this came up, is we just did a first look on Ghostbusters Frozen, which people might not see for a month or
Frozen
so.
Frozen Empire, yeah.
Yeah.
And that comes out March 29th, 2024.
And they're all coming back again. And I hope it's more than just a cameo.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it felt like a cameo.
It was nicely done. You know, speaking of cameos, are they ever going to treat Ernie Hudson with respect? Like, he gets zero respect in
right.
the original and, quite frankly, Afterlife. He's kind of an afterthought in the yeah. film. You know what yeah. I mean?
And the extras that you didn't get a chance to see, Bill Murray's talking, and he turns to Ernie Hudson, who's sitting next to him, and says, you're kind of the new guy. Even still, after all this time, you're the new guy.
And yeah, well, the weird thing about his character is, in the original, it was really kind of weak. Like, what? I don't know if I ever really came away with what the motivation was for him to show up there and take this gig and then be part of this crew. And it was really kind of a weird sort of joining.
Yeah, they were, you know, really busy. You know, at the point he comes into the picture.
Do we know what Ernie Hudson was doing prior to that? Was he selling insurance or something?
There's no setup. He just comes in.
Yeah, it was weird.
And I think, you know, talks to Annie Potts for a minute.
Right.
And
then next thing you know, he gets hired. They walk in from out on the job. And
correct.
He gets hired.
And Aykroyd's like, can you drive? Yeah. Can you?
You're hired.
You're hired. Right.
Yeah. And he was just so underutilized.
Yeah. And especially we saw The Crow not long ago. We reviewed The Crow.
Oh, that's right.
And, you know,
he was good.
You really see what a good actor he is, but you don't see it in Ghostbusters because he's totally an afterthought.
Yeah. Now, so you can read this online, but Aykroyd was, I don't know if he wrote the entire script or he was in the process of writing it, a third iteration. It was going to be called Hellbent.
Yeah.
And it kind of a similar concept as far as passing the torch to a new generation of Ghostbusters. But yeah. again, this Murray, you know, Bill Murray's refusal to sign on.
Right.
It, you know, there's quotes about him. Oh, he doesn't like sequels and this and that. And
right. Now, I want to do serious work.
Right.
That was a big one.
Right. And we could, you know, not all of his have been gems.
No.
You know? He's got a few stinkers in there too, but
he was nominated for an Academy Award. Did you know that?
He what?
He was nominated for an Academy Award.
For which film?
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you know?
No.
Guess? No?
No.
Lost in Translation. One of my favorites.
Sure. Yeah.
And he won the BAFTA, which is the equivalent of the Academy Award in England.
Scarlett Johansson.
And he also won the Golden Globe.
Yeah. She was like, what, 16 at that point?
She was young.
She's very young.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah. It's really good.
So that really holds things up. And at one point they're talking about, well, we'll do a CGI ghost of Bill Murray's character and bring him in. But so there's all these stops and starts over the years.
Dan Aykroyd was when they were doing press for this 2 years ago, you know, they were on Conan and maybe Conan.
They were everywhere.
Yeah. They were everywhere. And Bill Murray was doing press, which he never does.
But he seemed reluctant. Like
but at the same time, he showed up.
He just seems bored. I mean, I wonder how much of that is, you know, just an honoring of Reitman and Ramis and, you know, seem like he wanted to be there.
I don't know if you saw the one interview where they were talking about Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd is gushing and Bill Murray goes, that's enough. He's dead.
Okay,
somebody brings up.
He's just making a joke. He's not being serious.
No, but
he's not being serious. That's just Murray being Murray.
I don't know.
It's not serious.
And they brought up John Belushi and goes, he's dead too. So forget him.
It's a joke. It's just Murray trying to be fantastical and shocking. You know, whatever. Yeah. That's just his humor.
Yeah.
But I liked it. And I wondered if you knew that we talked about Gozer at the beginning, the kind of main sort of evil villain. At the end of the first, I can't speak to the second. I haven't seen that in so long, but I know that I saw it. But did you know who played the physical manifestation of Gozer at the end of Afterlife? I waited to bring this up until we got on air because I'm like, he's going to be shocked if he doesn't know.
Flat Top. Oh, yeah. It's Olivia Wilde.
Yeah. I had no idea until I was reading the credits.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I went back and was like, wow, she really looked different with the way they did her face and her eyes.
Right. And she looked like the goes are from the 80s.
She did.
So, yeah, that surprised me as well. And I only know it because of the extras.
Ah, okay, right.
She was in the extras.
It's amazing how far the special effects have come in that many years. It's night and day, obviously. But
you must have been thinking the same thing I was when Harold Ramis actually makes an appearance.
Yeah.
He makes an appearance.
Right.
And well, it's all, you know, part of the strike was all about how do you use artificial intelligence?
Right.
Because they talked about how they created him.
Right. Well, they basically took clips of him. Right?
Yeah.
And footage they had of him already, I think primarily probably from the original films.
Yeah. Because they couldn't do a mold because he was dead.
Right. But also there was, I know Ivan Reitman played his physical.
Only, you know,
his body double, like just that one scene where he and his granddaughter.
Four of them. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are like kind of using the proton pack to shoot the, you know.
He did it wasn't used in the movie. It was actually another actor, and I meant to look this
Joel
up.
Or Joe.
Would know this actor.
Oh, okay.
Because he's been in so many movies.
Yeah, I didn't make a note of it, so I don't recall offhand.
Yeah, and I forgot his name. And but then when I saw the extras and I saw he had dots all over his face, you know, that's how they
right.
And his physique was close enough to what they imagined. They had pictures of, you know, Harold Ramis as he was aging.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took it further, like, well, this, you know how they do in like cases and stuff like that.
Right, right. Yeah, it was incredible the way they did it. And as you pointed out to me, I had seen the opening clips,
yes.
That kind of teaser, but I didn't realize, as you were trying to hint at, that how much more he was featured in it at the end. It was like, wow, it's really amazing, the technology. The way.
Because you said to me, well, I think they're making too much of a big deal about the AI. And I said, and I was really confused. Like, no, I think using him and seeing him and, you know, that was kind of, and then I realized you hadn't seen the end yet.
No.
And I was like, well, wait till you get to the ending and then we'll talk. You know?
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, I was, like I said, I was glad I went back and watched the original. You know, we mentioned some of the callbacks, like the card trick callback that, between the first.
The wavy lines and the star. Right. You know, that's a typical test to see if you have ESP.
You know, it's kind of just a side note, but from the original film, that opening sequence where Murray is doing the card trick with this, you know, college student, this young blonde woman that he's played by Jennifer Runyon. If she looked familiar.
Yeah,
she was in. She played Sidney Brady in a Very Brady Christmas. Was one.
But
this was. She was in Charles in Charge. Remember that show? Way back.
Yeah, wasn't that Scott Baio?
Yeah. And then she was also in, I forget how many episodes, but she was in The Fall Guy TV series.
Oh, we just talked about that.
Which we just did a first look on that because Ryan Gosling is playing, you know, that character in the film that's coming out. So this was another interesting one too, is the mayor. You told me about this scene.
I did.
In the original, where there's the comment where Murray says, "It's true, Your Honor, this man has no dick," you know, and that whole line.
Right.
That mayor, David Margulies, plays Tony Soprano's lawyer in The Sopranos.
Oh, see, I didn't.
It's funny who you see when you go back and you watch somebody.
Right. And he, like, I knew he was a well-known character actor.
Right.
But he's not the one that's in Afterlife or. Actually, he's not even in Afterlife. In the next movie.
He's in the second movie, right?
Not the mayor, the guy that has no penis.
Correct.
He's going to be in the next, in the Frozen Tundra or whatever it's
frozen
called.
Frozen Empire.
Thank you.
Frozen Empire, due out March 29, 2024. Yeah, now, This, if you look this up on Rotten Tomatoes, Afterlife, 64% from the critics, 94% from the audience, which I'm okay with. Like, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done. Mm-hmm. So nice story. It connects well with the original installments. Good acting. It was funny. You know, it had all the things. Good directing, like you said, from Reitman. So where are the critics? They didn't like the script, I guess, the storyline or the
The story.
What about the story? It's a great story.
No, but you know what the problem is? It mimics the original a little too much, kind of like Godfather 3 that people hate on.
Yeah, but I thought it was so well done. Like, for example, the callback to the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
But see, that's one of the problems, I think, for a critic. And you know, that was an issue I had.
Reason. They're calling it fan service, right?
Reason for those marshmallow, which they were cute as hell.
It was funny as hell.
Right. But there was no reason for them to be there and be part. How were they part of this story?
They weren't. You're right.
Those are the kind of things that pop up.
Right. But it was funny as hell. It made for a good scene.
At the end of the movie, they recreate the New York the building that everything goes down in with Rick Moranis and Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Like, why was that in the movie?
And that's where, as you said, it's basically a complete retelling of the Sigourney Weaver, Rick Moranis being possessed and the whole the gatekeeper, keymaster thing.
And again, 64, I don't think is a bad score.
It was so well done. I just thought that was a little bit harsh. But, I like this. I would recommend, especially if you're a fan of the Ghostbusters franchise, for sure.
I thought it was a good fit. Now, Dan Aykroyd is so into the Ghostbusters. I mean, he studied all of the ESP things. And he had ideas for three sequels.
Yeah,
and he's talking about.
And I think he's just a fan of the franchise himself.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's able to, in a way, kind of separate himself from it as someone who's in the thing.
Right.
And he's just kind of he likes to champion it because he believes in it. And I don't know. Yeah, he's
he had to arm wrestle with Bill Murray all those years.
Exactly.
He finally, like, the big thing was when they did the third one.
Was he ever asked, is there any extras you've seen or interviews where you've seen where Murray finally acquiesced and said, I'm in? Like, was it the money truck they backed up?
Probably the money truck.
But they were certainly going to pay him whatever he wanted back then, the times that he was asked. So, I wonder what it really was. Was it this rift between he and Ramis? Was that really
was another thing. I mean, when Ramis died, they were not on good terms.
And they collaborated on one of our favorite films of all time.
Yeah, many.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, many of our favorite, films. Stripes.
Stripes,
I mean, there's a list of like seven films they did together. And he also worked with Ivan Reitman a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it was, why he was down on it. Or I think he was trying to become a serious actor is the bottom line. And he felt like if he kept doing these goofy comedies, he wouldn't get respect.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand that point, but you can do both.
He did the Razor's Edge.
Robin Williams, anyone? Like, you can do both.
You can do both and be good at both. Right. And I think anybody that can do a comedy movie can easily do a dramatic movie.
Well,
comedy's hard.
And that's the thing. He's one of few that has chops in both. People that understand that, right? It's like comedy and tragedy. I mean, most of the comedy is born out of some trauma.
Yeah.
Like, you got issues, especially those that are getting on stage and airing it out, right? It's not easy to do.
Right, Yeah, and in fact, that's a really good point. Stand-up comedians, when they're up there talking about things, the stuff that works is the stuff that's true and personal.
Right.
And you somehow, put a funny spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it usually starts, is something quite different.
I'd have to go back and watch Ghostbusters 2 because I was looking at some clips from it, mm-hmm. and it was more like kind of a trailer for it. And I think it was during an interview with the cast for Afterlife. They were going back and showing mm-hmm. it. And just in those clips, I'm like, wow, this, now talk about fan service. It seemed very much like, yeah, you know, Annie Potts, we're back. It was all that whole, we're back. And, you know, it just was kind of, you know, they were sort of trying to not recreate the first one, but just the tropes and everything that they.
It's interesting you say that because the movies between the first two that Murray did, the comedies,
right?
It's like Eddie Murphy, same thing. They kind of lost their comedy chops in the movies. Like Eddie Murphy just wasn't funny. And it wasn't until I forget what movie it was, all of a sudden he was back. And the same thing. Now, Bill Murray had lost his chops. And then when he did Ghostbusters 2, there's the toaster bit. Remember when the toaster, they call it mood slime. And it was, and, you know, and Murray in that one sequence, you could tell Bill Murray was back. Mm-hmm. He could be funny again. So it's ironic that he would fight a third one, given that kind of resurrected him mm-hmm. from a couple of dogs. You know, well, some people like meatballs, I guess. And that probably is before Ghostbusters. But
meatballs, yeah.
Yeah.
A movie I'd seen at an age I shouldn't have seen it at. Well, so what's your assessment?
I liked it as well. I thought the story definitely had holes, and like I compared The Godfather 3, which people love to dump on, Coppola tried to mirror the first movie. And I felt like Afterlife was trying to mirror the original too much. There was enough new stuff that they could have focused on more. And Paul Rudd fit in. I think you were right. Paul Rudd basically took the place
Rick Moranis,
of
who they wanted, but he's like retired. He's not acting anymore.
I think he lost his wife and he decided to stop acting and dedicate himself to being a dad.
Yeah.
So cheers to him. But he was supposed to come back ages ago for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
You see, the old TV guide. Remember that? Cheers to him and cheers to this.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember, it was cheers
for this. Cheers for him. Yeah, but so no, stupid. I liked it. And I was willing to forgive some of, like, a perfect thing is the little, you know, everyone knows the big ending of the first one where the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Right. And Dan Aykroyd says, you know, every day somebody comes up to me and says, it just popped in there. It just popped in. Yeah. You know, the thought of a Stay Puft guy. So right. You see this giant. So what they did in this one is they had a you know, Rudd is in a store like Walmart shopping and he goes by the marshmallows and they start, you know, popping.
Right.
Next thing you know, a tiny little marshmallow man pops his head out.
Right.
Of the bag. Next thing you know, they're all running around the store.
But the evil spirit, whatever it was in there and was inhabiting that. Because then eventually it takes that form of that, whatever that thing is, that gargoyle looking thing, right?
Right, right.
But that was a hilarious scene.
It was. And watching them.
Like you said, they're so cute, but they're like committing suicide on a barbecue grill, and it's dark at the same time.
It is dark because one of them lays down and they put a piece of chocolate on him and he's laying down on a graham cracker, so they make a s'more out of him.
And he's smiling, giggling. Yeah. Like
and the guy's in the blender. There's a blender, and one of them's in the blender, and he's, you know, he just goes to mush, and then you see a big smile in the blender. That was hilarious.
It was good. Yeah. It's just definitely one I'd recommend. It's 2 hours and 4 minute runtime, but you know, it went by really pretty quick.
The interesting thing, the one coming up, Jason Reitman was originally attached.
Well, the writer Gil Keenan is now the one behind the camera, so he's directing.
And they're
that
like
film.
Partners. You know, I don't know
Yeah.
I say that. I don't know if they're
so romantic he probably partners. Understands his sensibility and
yeah.
You know.
So kinda, yeah, he was the logical choice because he co-wrote Afterlife.
Afterlife, right.
And then right. Do you want to say anything else about the Harold Ramis bringing him back? Because they just went on strike about this.
With the AI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. They recreate Harold Ramis. Now, did his family get paid?
Right. Did they have to give consent?
Correct. You know, so, How does he give consent?
Right.
Unless does it before he dies.
Right. And if he, you know, returns somehow in Frozen Empire, rather.
Right.
That's all changed now. But no, nothing, just to say how well done it was.
Yeah. You know? And he didn't speak, which I thought was a good choice. Right. Don't have somebody doing an impression like they did with Halloween. Right.
Correct.
And Dr. Although,
although there's technology out there to where they probably could. Well,
they could have.
Clearly, because they brought Luke Skywalker back in The Mandalorian.
Right.
So they absolutely could do that. I think it was the right choice. Just this kind of, ethereal, kind of otherworldly. Just added to that, I think, that he didn't say anything.
And I'm sure they could have gone into the archives and pulled up sentences that he could have said, but instead he just kind of nodded.
Right.
Like, he looked at Ernie Hudson and Ernie said, I should have called.
And he had a little moment with Murray. Yeah, it was well done. It was really well done. It wasn't tacky or cheesy or anything at all. So,
no.
But all right. Well, listen, it sounds like we're both recommending this one for anybody like hasn't seen it already.
Right.
Because it took me 2 years to see it. But
and it's out there. I'm not sure who's got the rights to it right now. Mm-hmm. But it's probably on some streaming platform.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
Or you can get it now. We're coming up towards Christmas and Black Friday's got
absolutely
great deals.
And again, we decided to record this episode on the 2 year anniversary of its release after having been, it was supposed to come out in July 2020 and then it was delayed like at least four times because of COVID. So,
right.
Finally got it. Not to mention all the delays over the years, thanks to Bill Murray. But, well, all right, that's going to do it for Ghostbusters Afterlife review. Mm-hmm.
Both definitely positive.
Good. Check it out if you haven't seen it. Yep, that's a good one.
And it's a good, I think it's a family film as well,
Well, they say as much, the Reitmans spoke of it in that way, that it's a family film made by a family. And so
and they
it definitely
show,
has a theme.
In the extras, they show Jason, who was like five or six, on the set, sitting in the director's chair. And
what a wild,
kind of ironic,
full circle.
Yeah.
And to have lost his dad just after, he's really special for sure.
Right. And in the movie, I think it's in the opening, it says for Harold, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it at the end?
I think it was actually in the beginning.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I think it might have been in the beginning. But it makes me now want to see, the next installment even more now.
Yeah.
Having seen this. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of the Oh Brother Podcast. I've been your host, Dan Smith. Alongside me, as always, my brother from the same mother, Mike Smith. And we will see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
This is Cindy Busby, and you're listening to the Oh Brother Podcast.